come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Count It All Joy, a teaching through the books of Philippians and James. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Father. We are so thankful for our time together. We're blessed, Lord, beyond measure to be in this place together, together with other believers, Lord, together with those who you have great things planned for us. So, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We pray for the blessing on the word that as it's spoken, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would teach us and that we would be alert to your voice, Lord, and give you all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of things I wanted to take care of. You know, we had our retreat in the summer. Many of you know about the retreat. Many of you were there. And we learned it's God's way, God's will, God's time, and that he is God and I am not. So those are the things that we learned and we took back with us, and no matter what happened, because there are always things that happen when you come down the mountain, right? No matter what mountain you're on, when you come down the mountain, there are always things that happen. And so we remembered what we were taught there at the retreat. And it's been a very interesting, I want to say this first. I hope that you voted today. I hope that you took advantage of the freedom that we have, the responsibility that we have to vote. Whatever way you vote, that's up to you. I am not going to say anything about anything. I'm just going to tell you, please vote. Do take advantage of your freedom while you have it. So just take advantage of it. Don't just go, well, you know, I couldn't make it. Oh, well, you know, no big deal. Take advantage of the freedom that God's given you. God's given us all. So anyway, with that said, we've had a few things happen in the last few weeks that have been a very sad situations for us, but good things for them. Mary Fournier, who is... she came to evening Bible study, and she has been with us a long time. She went to be with the Lord a couple days ago, is that right? And Gail, do I have it correct? I think Trish sent it to me that her memorial service is this Thursday. Is it this Thursday? I think it's this Thursday at 2:00. 2:30. So Trish sent it to me. It's on my phone, and my phone is on the desk. I will try to find that out for you to be sure that you have the right date. Brandy Griffin, Mary had congestive heart failure and went to be with the Lord. Brandy Griffin had cancer, and she went to be with the Lord as well. And she was one of our facilitators in the evening time. We will miss her greatly. And of course, most of you know about Rusty Fogle, the one who led Lunch in a Prayer. His memorial is on September 25th at 11:00, and it will be here. So all of us will be a part of that. And then most of you know that Kay Smith went to be with the Lord as well. And many of you listened to or went to her memorial service. And I got to tell you, that was a woman who made a difference in my life. She made me the pastor's wife that I am. I will tell you, and I think I've told you before, I was at one of the first pastor's wives conferences, and I was a young pastor's wife. Yes, there was a day when I was young. Those were the days where, so as a young pastor, we were up at Twin Peaks at the first Pastor's Wives Conference, and I'm sitting there, and we have a question-answer time, and I gathered up all my nerve, all the nerve within me to ask a question. Because at that time, Kay Smith, she was, that's Kay Smith. Do you know who that is? You know how you get? Yeah, we get weird. But anyway, so I got up on my nerve and I asked her a question. And she said, "Well, you just deal with it." Okay. Okay, yeah. Want to get away? Yes, I do. Can I just be invisible now? But that was her way. She loved the pastor's wives so much that she could tell us anything. She could shake her finger at us, and she could really tell us off. And we knew that it was because of her love for the Lord and for us. She taught me to love God first, love my husband and my family, and love the people of the church, particularly the women of the church. And that's who I am because Kay Smith lived. And I'm so thankful that she's, and I'm going to move on because I'm not going to cry, and that's all there is to that, so just keep talking and that won't happen. So she taught me something that I've held close to my heart. Skip Heitzig mentioned it on the radio. I think it was just last week. Are you looking for the coming of the Lord? Are you looking at the situation that you're living in right now, and you think, this is so hard. This situation is so hard. God, just come and take us away. Take us away. Lord, come and take us away. Or are you looking for the Lord? Are you looking to the Lord who is coming? You see the difference there? It's like a bride who just wants to be a bride to get out of the house. Because things are so hard, so different, so just unbearable. Just, I'll marry anybody. Just get me out of the house. Give me a groom, I'll go with them. Or are we the bride that loves his appearing? We can't wait to spend all of our time with the Lord. We can't, we just want to see him. We want to be where he is. And Jesus is coming for all those who love his appearing, it says in 2 Timothy 4:8. And so he is coming. Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. And if you are new to the faith and you don't know anything about that, please talk to me afterwards, because Jesus Christ is coming for his family. He's coming for those who love him. He's coming for those who have put their trust in him. And if you haven't given your heart to Christ, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to do that. Why do you give your heart to Christ? You give your heart to Christ because of what he did for us. So that he died, he came, he lived, he died on the cross, he rose again, that we might have forgiveness of our sins. He took our responsibility, he took our sins upon himself, that we might have eternal life. And all I have to say is, Lord, would you forgive me of my sin? Would you come and live in my heart? Would you take control of my life and help me to stop living for myself? And then you're there. And then when he comes for you, you're going to go. And it won't be long. We'll be leaving here. So I remember that Kay always wore red and black. I remember her in red and black. Always. So I wanted to wear red and black, but I had a bad closet day. So the strangest thing happened. I don't know if it's the summer heat or what, but everything in my closet has shrunk. I don't know what happened. So I had to find something that still worked. But I stood there and I thought, what do I wear? What do I wear? I don't know. What do I wear? Try it. No, not that one. And it really was a great time getting ready this morning. So, but God has already determined what the best dressed soul is wearing. What the best dressed soul is wearing. You can't find this covering online. and order it online. That's what I mean. You can find it if you listen to the online, and we could go through that whole conversation, but you know what I'm talking about. It's not available through Amazon. And you don't have someone there waiting to take your order or whatever. God the Father is always there and waiting with the perfect fit for each of his children. The best dressed child of God is described in Isaiah 61:10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. Salvation and righteousness. I am a child of the King, and I never have to stand and stare at my garments of salvation and righteousness. I know that I am clothed in them because I've given my heart to him. But there are some wardrobe choices that I could make if I wanted to make these. God gives us a choice, and these are the wardrobe no-nos. What are the wardrobe no-nos? They are found in Colossians 3. It tells us the fashion don'ts. Verse 5, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Don't put on whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Let it go. Don't give it to Goodwill. Be rid of it. Give it to the Lord and be done with it. And I'm so glad that God gives us that more than the don'ts of our apparel. Or we might be left standing in our spiritual underwear. What does that mean? To stand only in your spiritual underwear. It sounds funny, yes. But that goes with, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm saved. And we don't grow, and we don't do anything with what God's given us, and we don't move forward, and we don't mature. We're walking around, I'm saved. Not clothed with the salvation, not clothed with the righteousness. So in Colossians 3:12 tells us what we're to wear with our garments of salvation and our robe of righteousness. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds us together, binds them all together in perfect unity. We put on love. We put on that love. That was Colossians 3:12. And so we are to be clothed in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness. Anybody have any trouble with any of those? Do you have any? And overall, not overalls. Don't put on the overalls. That's a whole different thing. But over it all is love. Love will cover a multitude of sins. We're told to put on love. Love is the ultimate accessory. I used to wear big necklaces, you know, and everybody would come, not everybody, but people would look at it, and that would be the thing that they would notice. That was an accessory. So they noticed the necklace first. For us, our accessory is love that brings people in to see, is she humble, is she gentle, is she kind, does she have those gifts? Is she clothed with salvation and righteousness? Our Father doesn't leave us dressed up with no place to go. Again, in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We are singing to the Lord. And so we're all dressed for work. Whatever our work is, what is our work? Our work is to serve Jesus. My work is to do whatever God tells me to do. There are people telling me what to do all the time. There are people telling you what to do all the time. You have a choice. Find out what God's telling you to do and do what God tells you to do. Whatever that is in every area of our lives. And in verse 17 of Colossians 3, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. It is the Lord Jesus you are serving. What in the world does this have to do with Philippians? I want you to notice first thing about Philippians, that Paul was clothed with a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He was clothed with a garment of praise for the work that he had to do there. He needed that praise in his heart. He needed to know that kind of joy. Count it all joy. Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison at Rome. Rome is the capital of the country that we now call Italy. What a big surprise. You all knew that, okay? And at that time, the king of Rome was Caesar, was called a Caesar, was very powerful. He had a lot of countries that he ruled over. Paul wrote this letter in approximately AD 62. That was 30 years after the death of Jesus. 30 years after the death of Jesus. How many of you have walked with the Lord for 30 years or more? Look at that. The rest of you guys, put your hands up high. Look at that. People who are new in the faith, if you are under 30 years, you are new in the faith. And I want to tell you, those hands raised mean that there is hope. You are going to make it. You are going to make it. No matter what your situation, God's got this. God has you. He loves you. He cares for you. He will carry you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. You know, fear divides us. And we don't want to have that kind of division. In my heart, I don't want to have that kind of division. I don't want to be fearful of anything, any situation I'm in, any place that I'm in. I don't want that fear to overtake me. And so that spirit of fear is to be gone. So at that time, Philippi was an important city in Macedonia, which is at the north part of Greece. And I would love to have maps and arrows and all those things, but you know that that's not me, so we'll move on. He went there to teach the people about Jesus and get them dressed for service. How was he getting them dressed for service? He was bringing them to Christ. That's how he was getting them dressed. He was helping them to put on the garment of salvation and the garment of righteousness upon them, on themselves. Paul first visited Philippi about 12 years before he wrote this letter. He went there to teach the people about Jesus and get them dressed for service. Some people there were angry about the things that Paul was doing, so they put Paul in prison. We can read that in August, not in the Bible. August is not even in the Bible. That's what I was about to say. Acts 16:11-40. And so it's thought that Paul visited Philippi again after that, and he may have gone there several times that we don't know anything about because it wasn't important to the story here. When Paul visited Philippi on his second missionary journey, he led a number of people to Christ who formed the church there. I'm laughing because it says that on his second missionary journey, he lied a number of people. So he led a number of people to Christ while he was there, and those people formed the church. Some of them were Lydia and her family, the Philippian jailer, and his family, and the girl possessed by a demon. That's also in Acts chapter 16, verses 14 to 34. The city of Philippi was a Roman colony, so it was like a miniature Rome. You know when Americans go to another country and Americanize it? That's what this was like. The Romans went to another country and they Romanized it. So it was like a little Rome. It was just like the person's that they followed. Isn't that interesting? We become like the people we follow. We become like the people we follow. It was strategically located on an important trade route between Europe and Asia. The city was named after Philip of Macedon, the father of Alexander the Great. In case someone asks you, stops you on the street, asks you who that was, you will know. It was the father of Alexander the Great. You never know when you're going to need that. There were two reasons for this letter to be written. One was it was a thank you note from a missionary. A thank you note from a missionary for a supporting church. And it was also to confront the conflict between two women. I am so glad amongst our women, we never have conflict. We are never annoyed by each other. We are never frustrated with each other. We never go, I am not talking to her ever again. But they did. They had that problem there. And so he needed to confront it. And we're going to learn how to handle those problems that we don't have here. So the Philippian, my computer corrected my spelling. And all of my Philippians are Philippines. So it's not my fault in talking. I'm just reading. It's the computer's fault. The Philippian church was the first church established in Europe, so it spoke to the Gentiles. So that's why you don't find in here, you don't find a lot of references to the Old Testament, because he wasn't talking to Jews, he was talking to Gentiles. So the things of the Old Testament didn't have the effect or the meaning to the Gentiles that it did to the Jews. So there's little reference to the Old Testament. Women had a prominent place in the church. A woman was the first convert in Europe. That was Lydia. Lydia and her family. So a woman was the first convert, the first one to get things started. And I'll bet she was the first one that started the church too. I'll bet she just got them all to, hey guys, come on over here, build this. Come on over here, I'll cook. You go, you do that. And you know how we women are. Paul first attended, the meeting that he first attended was attended by women. Acts 16:12-15. And two women were prominent in the church that we'll get introduced to them in chapter 4. The church at Philippi was one of the most generous in financial support. Philippians 4:10-16, we'll get into that. In 2 Corinthians 8, we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We find the story of how much they gave, and it says, verse 1, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction and of the abundance of their joy, and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality in the midst of their trials. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. They forced them to take the gift. Have you ever been in a place where you realize, oh, they have so little? And they make this great meal for you, and that it was their whole, well, missionaries sometimes have that situation. It was their whole budget to have that meal for you, and you're like, oh, you know, I need to leave leftovers for them. I need to, oh, should I eat this? They urge you to take it because I want to give it to you. Because when I give freely, God rewards me freely. Freely you have received, freely give. The things that we hold on to, we just have. But when we are giving, when we have a giving attitude, if we have a generous attitude in every area of our life, I'm not talking about putting more money in the offering. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our time. I'm talking about our, my time's up apparently. We have our time and we have all of those areas that we can give from. We have all kinds of situations, so be giving. But verse 5, chapter 8, verse 5, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. They gave themselves to the Lord first, and then they gave to us. His purpose for being there was to lead them to Christ. And so the theme of joy is in this letter of Philippians. It's all over this letter. In fact, 17 times in some form, the word joy or the connotation of joy is there. Philippians is full of Christ. In 104 verses in Philippians, 51 of them contain Jesus Christ in some form. Jesus, Lord, Christ, whatever. 51 references to the Lord Jesus by name. Paul gives a lot of personal information in this letter. There's an emphasis on the mind or the attitude. I love to say attitude in the way that the English say it. It just seems to make more sense to me. Attitude, it gets my attention. Does it get your attention more than attitude? Take care of your attitude. Take care of your attitude. Oh, oh, attitude. Attitude, I see it. I see it everywhere. Yes. And so, the attitude in this letter, verses chapter 1, verse 7, chapter 2, verses 2, 3, and 5, chapter 3, verses 15 and 19, chapter 4, verses 2 and 10. The theme is obviously joy. We boast in Christ, not in the respect of people. Do you boast in Christ and don't worry about the respect of people? But what if they don't like me? What if they don't? Or what if they do? Does that make you any more of anything if somebody likes you? Doesn't make me anything more if people like me. I'm saved. How much more could I want? How much more do I need? I'm saved. If somebody doesn't like me, you know what? I'll do my best to follow Christ, but if I do it wrong, and I will do it wrong from time to time, probably 40,000 times a day, but there is forgiveness, and there is grace, and I can't worry about what people think about me. I know that Jesus thinks about me all the time. All the time. It says that he never takes his eye off of me. It says that he never takes his eye off of you. He is always holding you. He has got this. He's got you. Whatever you're going through, whatever it is, whatever your situation, God has it. God has got this. Hallelujah. Give him a little glory because it's all goes to him. And I don't care if you guys talk to me when I'm talking. I don't care. Feel free. Hallelujahs are welcome. So the theme is obviously joy. That's where true joy comes from. Where does true joy come from? Jesus, others, yourself. That's true joy. Jesus, others, yourself. And so as we get into this book, or this letter, chapter 1 is going to be the example of Paul as living above conflict, or living in the midst of conflict and rising above it. Chapter 2 will give us at least 4 other examples of living for somebody besides myself. Chapter 3 gives us the purpose of the Christian life is Christ-centered. We have to be Christ-centered. Chapter 4 will show us the power of the Christian life that is wholly submitted to God, wholly submitted to Christ. So why do we put these two letters together, Philippians and James? Why would you put those two together? They're not together in there. Why would you do that? And I've had people ask me. Because Philippians tells us that we are to have joy and tells us about the thankful heart that creates a joyful heart. Do you know that a thankful heart creates a joyful heart? It's a thankful heart that creates that. Gratitude affects attitude. Gratitude affects attitude. So you will remember that because it was spoken with an accent. Do you know whenever we went to other countries, people listened to us more because we spoke with an accent? That is true wherever you go. If someone's talking to you and you really have to listen to what they're saying because their words sound different, and so you pay a lot of attention to what they're saying. So you say things with, I'll just use an English accent all the time. So, get it all together, can't find out where it's at. Anyway, so putting the two together, Philippians shows us what life is like when we have that Jesus, others, yourself mentality that brings true joy. And James shows us how to walk in that type of joy, even when we're going through all kinds of trials. I'm excited to see what God has for us in these books. I'm excited for you ladies getting back together again. I'm excited to see what God's going to do. He's got great things planned for us, no matter what it is. And you know what? He's got some stuff that we didn't plan on coming. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. We can see things a little bit. But he has things planned for us that we weren't really planning on. I want you to remember God's way, God's will, God's time. God's way, God's will, God's time. God's got this. And I meant to say when I came in, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it, no matter what. And so we will get dressed for work and make sure we have that accessory of love. Let's put on Jesus. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you, Father, for the things that you have spoken to us this morning. We thank you for the way that you brought everything together. You know what you're doing. I love that I can trust in you, Lord. And we want to praise you. We want to honor you. We want to bless you. And Father, as we work this out on the first time to go to our small groups, Lord, we just pray, Father, that you would just speak to our hearts and help us to be there for each other. Help us to love one another as you have loved us, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go.